All right, Matthew chapter 1, if you will. And I just want to do a couple more, and then we're going to talk about the New King James. If you look at Matthew chapter number 1, and look at verse 25. Matthew 1 and verse 25. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Do you see a problem? The NIV, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You see, the firstborn's gone. Again, that attack of the deity. Just so you know, the New King James has a footnote on the firstborn son part, and that is that the Nestle's reads a son. Okay? By the way, the New Living Translation says, but she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. That's an interesting way of saying it. The message is funny. It gets hilarious. Says, but he, and by the way, the message doesn't have any verse breaks. It just has chapter breaks. So I'm thinking this is where the verse would be. But he did not consummate the marriage until she had the baby. He named the baby Jesus. Who named the baby Jesus? God the Father did, not Joseph. So anyway, you have the New Century Version says, but he did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son. So then the question becomes, you know, how does she have a son if he didn't have, was there somebody else? Because how do you have a kid? You got to have the relationship. So you got a lot of the questioning there. Again, you can go on and on. Look over with me. There's one here I wanted to show you. Look at 1 Timothy 1. Paul is our pattern. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15 and 16. People often ask, how can these people not see this? How can they? 1 Timothy 1, verse in chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1 and chapter 1 and verse 15 and 16. How can they not see this? How can it be right there on the pages of their Bible and they not see this? Well, it might not be there on the pages of their Bible. Notice 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is the NIV. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Oh. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Do you see anything in there about him being a pattern? So what is Paul? He's just the worst sinner out there. So when you ask somebody who your apostle is, have you ever considered Paul? They might not know Paul was their apostle because the book that they're using isn't, you know, that passage in Galatians 2 where it's the gospel of, and they change all that, and that changes everything. Paul's not a special, he's just a continuation issue, okay? So you've got things like that. Now, I want to do one more with you. I got to find it here. Psalms, go over to Psalms. Psalms 12. I got a book here the guy did, and it's just got he goes through all the major issues from Genesis to Revelation, and he's got them listed. And from what I can tell, we could spend a month every day going through, and it's just phenomenal. And if you're interested in it, I have one extra one, I believe. But we can always get a few more if we want to, okay? Look at Psalms 12. By the way, the reason I don't promote a lot of this stuff is because you need to figure out for you how you're going to wield the sword. Okay, here's some ideas. That's what that little pamphlet was about. You pick one or two, because you don't have a lot of time to talk to people about this issue. Because as soon as you bring up a Bible, you use a King James Bible, they've shut you down already. They really have, because they've been taught to do that. Or they don't know anything anyway, and they could care less, and they're going to sit there and talk to you. And that's where we're going, and that's the better guy to be talking to anyway, because then you don't have to fight all this. You can just move right into the doctrine. All right, Psalms 12, verse 6 and 7. I'd say pretty important verses for Bible preservation issues, wouldn't you? All right, you ready? NIV. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined seven times. You, Lord, will keep the needy safe and will protect us forever from the wicked. So he took the pure words and made them flawless in the NIV. Okay? Do you see anything in there about gold? Gold is added. There's your paraphrase. Silver wasn't enough. I'm going to get gold too. Yep. Okay? The word words, the plural, is changed to promise in the New Living Translation. It says, the New Living Translation says, the Lord's promises are pure. Okay? Thou shalt preserve them, i.e. God's words, right? Is changed to keep the needy safe and will protect us from the wicked. Not even close, is it? Now, the New Living that's verse 7, yeah. So you see how they took two verses that protect the issue of preservation and they butcher them. Okay? No. Yes. Exactly. That's the point, really. And all of that. I ran that up too high. I'm sorry. I ran it up to 80. Oh, no. You only got a few more minutes. We'll be here. Okay? That's crazy. Yes, sir. The New King James, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. So they didn't mess up too bad. That's pretty big. You're in Psalms 12. If you go over, there was one more I wanted to show you. Now, I think you get the point. Okay. Look at Titus 1. Titus 1. I got to get there. Titus 1. And look at verse number 2. A great verse about God that cannot lie. Titus 1, verse 2. You ready? Titus 1, verse 2. A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. A faith and a knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Does who does not lie, does that give an out that he could lie? Where cannot means he what? Cannot, absolutely can't do it. See, they've left a little leeway there, just in case we need to have that. It's a divinity issue, exactly. So they make the Lord, they give God an opportunity to lie. And come over to John 6. Like I say, we could do, we are doing it, but you could do this for hours. Look at John 6 and look at verse 47. John 6, 47. Oh, come on. John 6, 47, NIV. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. No object of your belief. John 6, 47. You ready? Read it again. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. Isn't that interesting? Believe whatever you want. I believe the Cubs will win today. Hey, I got everlasting life. Woo! Ready for the New King James? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, footnote, has everlasting life. The footnote says, omits in me, the Nestle's text. So, again, in the text, they leave it, but then they put that footnote. So, why don't you just leave it? Don't footnote it, because the footnote does what? First of all, it draws your eye away from what the verses are saying to look at a footnote going, wait a minute, that could be, I could leave that out. So I can go believe anything I want to believe, okay? So you have to watch that. So you can believe in anything, anybody, anyone. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm trying not to pick on the New King James. It's just out there, and everybody uses it. New King James. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those... I'm reading NIV, okay? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Are you saved or are you being saved? Okay, guess what the New King James says, which are being saved. They don't even footnote that bad boy. They just say it. They just... out you go. Okay? So you can be saved. You can believe whatever you want. You can off you go. You can do whatever you want to do. Look over at Luke 11. Luke 11. I chuckle, not because this is funny. It's rather sad. But it's ironic that this is the book that even in gray circles gets promoted, that New King James. Look at Luke 11, and we're going to pick up in verse 12. Okay? I'm sorry, verse 2. My bad. I'm sorry. Luke 11, verse 2. Luke 11, verse 2. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name and your kingdom come. Give us each our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sinned against us, and lead us not into temptation. Do you see a whole bunch of stuff missing? So Satan may be God. If you look at all of the stuff omitted, There are four major uh-ohs omitted. And I read the NIV, okay? Just so you know, the New King James has it all in there, but with footnotes. So they have omitted words that would distinguish God from the devil in the prayer. They omitted our from our Father. They omitted which are in heaven. They've omitted, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. And they omitted, but deliver us from evil. By the way, in the New King James, but deliver us from evil, the New King James says, but deliver us from the evil one. That's bad news. They make it to where it could be anybody. Exactly. Okay? So, on and on you can go. They butcher right division. You can go look at 2 Timothy 2:15. And it's a be diligent, you know. Let's look at that. Go over there to 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Because this is a translation issue. All right? We're talking about translation. NIV, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Okay? By the way, the New King James matches the NIV I just read. He says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. That's the New King James. The New American Standard says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, and so forth. Now, the Greek word is the same in both texts. Okay? But when you say study to show thyself approved, and you say be diligent is a broad term. I was diligent this morning to get here before you to turn the air on, to turn the lights on, to get things ready, to set up next door. Okay? That's a be diligent. But that's not the context of 2:15. The context of 2:15 is to do what? Study. So the translators of the NIV, they use the same Greek word. They translated it, be diligent. The King James guys come along and say, no, it needs to be study. Singular event. Not get everything done, but let's do that. That's a translation issue. Okay? Because that Greek word shows up in both texts. By the way, just for fun, the message. I love this one is highlighted. I got an earmark. It just wears everyone out. Concentrate on doing your best for God. Work you won't be ashamed of, laying out the truth plain and simple. It just wears you out. Okay? So when you think about that, that's the case. Now, let's talk about the New King James just real briefly here. We got about 30 minutes. The New King James omits the Lord 66 times. It omits the word God 51 times. It omits the word heaven 50 times. It omits the word repent 44 times. It omits the word blood 23 times. It omits the word hell 22 times. It omits the word Jehovah entirely. Takes it completely out. They use Yahweh, the YA spellings. Okay? I'm not going to find it in that one. Let's look in this one. They omit the word New Testament entirely. They omit the word damnation entirely. They omit the word devils entirely. It ignores the Textus Receptus over 1,200 times. And it replaces the King James Hebrew, which is the Ben Shaman, C-H-A-Y-Y-I-M, with the corrupt Ben Ashur for the Old Testament. Okay? That's what it does. Now, here's what they tell you in their preface. This is a King James. I had to go buy a new King James, Old Testament included, because these only have the New Testament. Otherwise, that book would be like really big. So I went up to the dollar store, the half-price bookstore, and found one. And it's an interesting one because it's Possible Thinker's Bible, and it's Possibility Thinking Bible, and it's Robert Schuller, and so forth. So I got a, there's a bunch of dark stuff in there going, come on, that's not the verse. Okay? The preface of the New King James. This is what makes this stuff so sitting on that fence isn't where you want to be. In the preface of the 1611 edition, the translators of the Authorized Version, known popularly as the King James Bible, state that it was not their purpose to make a quote, to make a new translation, but to make a good one better, end quote. And that's accurate, that's true. Indebted to the early work of William Tyndale and others, they saw their best contribution to consist in revising and enhancing the excellence of the English version, which had sprung from the Reformation of the 16th century. In harmony, now, with the purpose of the King James scholars, the translators and the editors of the present work have not pursued a goal of innovation. They have perceived the Holy Bible, the New King James Version, as a continuation of the labors of the early translators, thus unlocking for today's readers the spiritual treasures found especially in the Authorized Version of the Holy Scriptures. That is a flat-out lie. If they're going to do that, then they're going to translate the same way. They're going to use the same text, and they're going to use the same methodology of translating, and they don't. We've kind of seen that as we've gone along here. Okay. Complete equivalency in translation is a top. When new translation has been necessary in the King James Version, New King James Version, the most complete representation of the original has been rendered by considering the history of usage, the etymology of the words in their context. The principles of complete equivalency seeks to preserve all of the information in the text while presenting it in a good literal form. Dynamic equivalency, a recent procedure in Bible translation, that's a lie, it's been around forever, commonly result in paraphrasings where a more literal rendering is needed to reflect a specific and vital sense. You know what they did? We use them all. We're using all the possibilities. We're not the King James translators, the original 47 of them, were literal equivalency. These guys are like, well, we got to dab and diddle. We're going to just do it all over. Okay? And on yon you go. Readers of the Authorized Version will immediately be struck by the absence of several pronouns. Thee, thou, and ye are replaced by the simple you. Now, that comes from an ignorance of the English language. So they don't know the English language. They don't understand it. Because you could be me and you, or you. That's the thee and the ye and the thou and all that, okay? They are substituted, are replaced by the simple you, while your and yours are substituted for thy and thine is applicable. Thee, thou, thy, and thine were once forms of address to express a special relationship and blah, 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 blah. They go on and on. Okay? Let's read the footnote thing. Footnotes. Significant explanatory notes, alternate translations and cross-references, as well as New Testament citations of Old Testament passages are supplied in footnotes. The textual information in the New Testament footnotes is a unique provision in the history of the English Bible. Terms in the footnotes such as better manuscripts are avoided. You know why they're avoided? Because the NIV guys used them, and the populace said, no more of that stuff. We don't want it. So they hid an agenda. We just won't say that now. We'll just eliminate it. The footnotes in the present edition make no evaluation of the readings, but do clearly indicate the manuscript source of the reading, which diverged from the traditional text. And why would there need to be a diversion from the traditional text if you were doing what the King James translators were doing? See, they're presenting themselves as being one thing, and in reality, they are what? Doing something else, okay? And off you go, and you can read the, it's here to look at. Now, you were talking about AV Publications earlier. This is a little pamphlet that I picked up from Gail out of AV Publications, Ripplinger. It's about the New King James Omissions. I didn't order any of these, but there you can get online and do it yourself if you would like it, or you can look at this one. But when in doing that, she has a wonderful thing here about easy words and hard words, okay? In Psalms 43, verse 1, the easy word in the King James Bible is judge. The hard word of the New King James is vindicate. Okay? In Romans 14, verse 13, the New King James uses the word resolve instead of the King James word for judge. Resolve and judge. Joshua 22, the New King James uses the word descendants, and the easy word is what? Children. And that's what the King James uses. They want to get away from using the these, the thou, all the hard words, and yet they still are using words that are hard. Amos 5, the word hard word is savor, S-A-V-O-R. The easy word is smell. Sorry. Okay, Isaiah 28, the hard word is verdant, V-E-R-D-A-N-T. The easy word is fat. Yeah, me too. Isaiah 34, verse 6, the hard word is overflowing. The easy word is fat. Isaiah 13, the hard word, which is the New King James, just is mortal. The easy word is man in the King James. Deuteronomy 28, the hard word is elderly. You know what the easy word is? Old. Judge 19, the hard word is limb. The easy word is bones. They use the word Sheol and Hades instead of hell. That's hard. What is Sheol? Sheol is the Hebrew word, means hell. Hades is a Greek word that means hell. They're the same. They go both ways. Galatians 5. The hard word is estranged, estranged, E-S-T-R-A-N-G-E-D. The easy word is no effect. Yeah, that's what I did, huh? Look over there at Galatians 5. And I Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and verse number 4. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempted to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. That's the New King James. What's the easy word? Galatians 5:4. No effect. Christ is... Galatians 5:4. You have become estranged from Christ. Well, Galatians 5:4 says Christ has become of no effect unto you. That's not the same thing at all. Okay? Come over to Philippians. You know what? Go back to Romans. Let's just start there. Uh-oh. He's doing it again. Romans 13. I got a kick out of this. And for me, the New King James, where the trouble is they say they're one thing, and when you get into it, they're another. It's a deception. But Thomas Nelson, the publisher, they're owned by the guy, Rupert Murdoch. Okay, that's who owns them. it's part of his conglomerate, and they said, we need to publish a Bible that the NIV, by the way, if you get a new NIV, they've made a lot of these changes to these verses that you and I use because they were getting heat from their people, okay, from the congregate, from the church. So they went in and readjusted. So you can literally have an NIV and another NIV not match at all because the editions are different, okay? This is edition 5 and this one is edition 25, and they're not going to match. So Thomas Nelson said, we need to be in the middle. We need to have feet in both camps so we can sell Bibles. So let's sell a Bible that everybody will kind of gravitate towards. Look at Romans 13. Look at verse 1. Romans 13, 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except God. You have something about a higher power, don't you? Yeah, a little different. Romans 14, verse number 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. There's a footnote on that bad boy, and it says vindicate on the judge. Not the same. Little different. Okay? Look over at Acts 27. Acts 27 and verse 17, I think it is. Yeah, Acts 27, 17. Acts 27. I got to get my King James to it so I can. 27, 17. You ready? When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands, they struck sail and so were driven. Read it again, okay. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands, they struck sail and so were driven. Do you have a thing about quicksands? Okay. What are Syrtis sands? Me neither. Okay, you ready? All right, here's how they spell it. Yep. You ready? S-Y-R-T-I-S. Okay. Now, they have a footnote on this word. In the New King James, they use an N-U in their footnote. That's the next Nestle's text. That's the other, that's the NIV guys. And then they use an M-dash text. That's the majority text. Their footnote says, majority text reads S-Y-R-T-E-S. Let me ask you something. You have a Bible that has is from the majority text. Does it say Syrtis at all in that verse?
No.
Not at all. Even the footnote's a lie. Yes, everybody knows what it is. So did you Google it? What is it? Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So you look it up in the 1828, it's not even English. Okay? Yeah, anything to keep you in confusion. It could be, yeah, the etymology seems to be Latin. You're in, look over at Romans 1. Folks, you just have to be careful. But I'm going to tell you what, this Bible version stuff is all a walk of faith. You got to believe you have it or not. That's why I started with Hebrews 10. We're going to talk about the volume of the book is written about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's who we need to be talking about. And all of these books, outside of the King James Bible, they all destroy the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They all attack him. Outside of the King James Bible, none of them promote Pauline distinctive ministry at all. Understanding your Bible rightly divided. The only Bible that does that is a King James Bible. That's the only Bible out there that does it. I know guys that used to be up in the North Valley, they come to understand right division using an NIV. I ask them how. They said, you know what they said? Oh, we studied Pastor Stamm's book, Things That Differ. I said, then you didn't come to understand the Word of God rightly divided out of an NIV. You came to understand it out of Things That Differ. And he's like, well, what do you mean? I said, because your NIV doesn't have the terms, and what it does have, it hides. And they subsequently never came back. And that's okay. But, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, sure. And it is a tool that gets used against you. Look at Romans 1. We got a few minutes. Romans 1, verse 26. Romans 1, verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Exchanged. Your Bible says changed, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Exchanged and changed are a little different, aren't they? All right, taking parts out and adding parts, I guess. I don't know. Chapter 2, verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. You don't have there about in accordance, do you? No, it's after. But after thy heart. In accordance to is what they say. In accordance with your hardness. A little different. In accordance is, after is easier to understand than the other. Look down at verse 27. 2:27. And will not the physical uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? The written code. How about the letter? Just a little clearer. Who by the letter? Chapter 3, 3:25. This is a big verse in our conversations. 3:25. Whom God set forth to be a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Did he pass over the sins that were previously committed? No. See how it took away from his forbearance. But it also, the sins that are past, that's what the King James says, talking about time past in the Old Testament. Not you. Yeah. So you have that. It's a tremendous thing. Look over at Colossians. Excuse me. You know what? Yeah, Colossians 2. Colossians 2. I was trying to keep verses in Paul's epistles. Colossians 2 and verse number 2. Colossians 2 and verse 2. Okay? That their hearts may be encouraged, being knitted together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. You see how they go after the deity, the Godhead there. What is your, the King James says, to the acknowledging of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Three distinctive persons there, by the way. And yet, what did they do? They took Jesus Christ and just kind of made him something else. By the way, there is a footnote on the verse, which shouldn't surprise you, okay? It's actually on the word and it says the Nestle's text omits both of the Father and. So you can go with the NIV if you'd like in that verse, it'll be okay. It goes after them. Look over at 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. Second Thessalonians 3 and verse number 5. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5. Ready? Now the way of the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, into the patience of Christ, and into the patient waiting for Christ. That verse right there lines up with the Jehovah's Witness Bible. Just so we have the Jehovah's Witnesses in town. It demotes the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Come back over to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Colossians 1. It goes after things. Colossians 1. And I get angry. But anyway, Colossians 1, I shouldn't get angry, but Colossians 1, verse 15. Colossians 1, verse 15. Ready? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. I read it fast. He is the firstborn over all creation. Wait a second. Is he a creation? Or is the Lord Jesus Christ a creation, or is he the creator? He's the creator. It just demoted him. It made him a part of the creation. Firstborn over all creation. It made him created. You go back up into Matthew and in Acts and stuff, and it'll say where the King James says, Holy Child, Jesus. The New King James will say, Holy Servant, Jesus. You're in Colossians. Look over at chapter 3. Colossians 3. Verse 17. Colossians 3, 17. Colossians 3 and verse 17. That's not. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It should be what? By Him. We have access into the Father by Him because of who we are in Christ. A little different. You ready? Okay, it's subtle. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him, rather than by Him. It's very subtle. Yeah. Yes, sir?
Romans 15:8.
Uh-huh.
The King James Version uses Jesus Christ was the minister.
Yes.
I think that's important.
Yes. Yes, so does the New King James. Yeah. Romans 15:8. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers. has become. Presently, right now, doing it, rather than time past, but now, and ages to come. Yep, I hides it. That's what I'm saying. You can find it in there, right division. You got to know what you're looking for. If you don't know what you're looking for, guess what? You'll never see it. So why do people not see it today in the church? It's not in their Bible that they're using. It doesn't get up on the overhead. Okay? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Ephesians 3, verse number 1, 2, and 3 there, verse 2. By the way, the New King James says, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. So, little changes in that, I think, but come over to 1 Corinthians 11. It's just things like this, folks, that just, I mean, and we're just looking at a few. I could take you to Hebrews, and it'll say in Hebrews that all those in Israel that came over there, they forsook Moses. All of them did. Take you back in the same book, go back over there, and you know who didn't? Joshua and Caleb didn't forsake Moses. But Hebrews says all of them did. Lie right within their own Bible cover, you know. So this is just 1 Corinthians 11. Here's a kicker. This one really kicks. Again, what did the New King James say? We're doing it just like the old guys did. Not true. It's a lie. Lie like a rug. 1 Corinthians 11, look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. What does your verse say? Be your followers of me as I am of Christ, right? You ready? Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Imitation belongs to who? Satan. That is. That New King James says, imitate me as I don't want to imitate, I want to follow. See, imitation, that's what Satan did. Satan comes up and imitates Israel's religion, creates Baal worship. They come up and he's imitating. I will be like the Most High. I'm not the Most High. I want to be like him. Imitation. Paul says, by the way, that's a difference in Greek text, just FYI, okay? But Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. That's kind of scary. We looked at 1 Corinthians 1 there about being saved, right? Look at Ephesians 2:8, one of our cherished verses, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, right? Ones we all cut our teeth on. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. I lost it. Where'd it go? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Is that what yours says?
No.
Have been saved. For by grace are ye saved. The New King James says, for by grace you have been saved. In other words, you hear the guys who say everybody was saved, they just don't know it. Until somebody comes along and tells them that they need to get saved. Wait a minute. And that, by the way, that's very popular today in some grace groups to say everybody in the world is saved. They are forgiven. They just don't know it yet. So you got to go tell them. whatever happened to, you got to trust him, believe it, and here, they already say, and that right there, you've already been saved by grace, don't you know? You just got to trust it. Scary. Very deceitful. Come over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. I hope I'm not boring you. Galatians 5. But it's something I want us to be aware of. And by the way, we'll talk more about the New King James when in church service in the first of the year, some things. And again, if you use the New King James, use it. It's okay, but know where it's coming from. It's coming from a lie, you know. I knew a guy who used the New King James. He used to attend here, and he said, I just like it better. I said, that's fine. Just know then there's going to be points where we're going to differ on, and you're trusting a lie. And you go, see, there you go again. And I'm like, look, figure it out. Pay attention. And, you know, eventually he did. He conceded that, you're right. But he still used it because, he knew where everything was at. I'm like, okay, you know. I had another guy I talked to. I went to over visit. He's got a shelf full of Bibles. And I just asked him, which one of those Bibles is the right one? He goes, depends on what we're talking about. I'm like, okay, well, we're talking about. And he would pick and choose depending on what fit the need, you know. And I'm like, a double-minded man is unstable in his ways, James says. And that's just the facts. What did I tell you? Galatians 5, look at verse 22. Galatians 5, 22. New Age ideas, okay, what are called New Age ideas. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Does yours say faithfulness or faith? So now the fruit of the Spirit is going to be based upon your faithfulness, you working, you doing, you producing. And that's not where the fruit of the Spirit comes from at all. So it's going to promote a works environment. Look over at 1 John 5. I know this isn't us, but here's the idea. 1 John 5. 1 John 5 and verse 13. 1 John 5 and verse 13. Let me get there here. 1 John 5. Oh, time's almost up. 1 John 5 and verse 13. These things I have written to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. You may what? Continue to. In other words, you're not quite there yet. It's not a done deal. You got to keep going. Exactly. By the way, there's a footnote after the word eternal life. The Nestle's text omits the rest of the verse. So if you don't like the rest of the verse, just cut it off. It's okay. Okay. Anyway, yes, sir. Okay, Hebrews 4, 4:12. Let's go one at a time. Yep. Hebrews 4. And verse 12. All right. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you see how yours says quick? Okay. Quick has more meaning to it than just living and alive. Quick also means quick, speed. Your Bible, the Word of God is quick and powerful. In other words, it's designed to work quickly in you. It is alive, that's okay, but it's designed to work quickly, not just bounce around, not just be alive. Okay? What was the other reference, Nick? John 6, 63. Yep. Yeah, they messed with that one too, probably. Okay, John 6. I got to get there. This Bible's got so much of Schuller's stuff in it. 663. You ready? It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Did it mess with it? I didn't look. Yeah. Yep. Yes, it is. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. They have, if you look over at, look at 2 Corinthians 10. It's a little things, and you may say, yeah, but okay, what does it mean? But if they're going to little things here, 2 Corinthians 10, they may big thing over there. 2 Corinthians 10, look at verse 5. You know the, everybody's got to be tolerant. You know the tolerance, you got to put do this, do that. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 5. Ready? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Casting down arguments rather than casting down imaginations. In Titus 3, verse 10, where he says, after two or three admonitions, reject as a heretic. The New King James says, reject as a divisive man. Lessen it. He's not a heretic, he's just divisive. We'll just put him over there in the corner. No, he's a heretic. Yes, sir. Titus 3, verse 10. I was reading it the other day. Titus 3, verse 10. Reject the divisive man after the first and the second admonition. Anyway, I think you get the picture. It's a bad text versus a good text. It's a bad translation method versus a proper translation method. Okay? So we're picking up, we have a journey, and we're depositing into either the New Bibles or the King James Bible. Translations are valid, they're necessary, they have to be there. If someone says, like Nick was saying, people always get on us about, you have that King James because it's the only one that talks about Paul, that there's a reason why. Because there's a text issue, there's a translation issue. Okay? Yes, sir? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They, in order for there to be a new edition, they have to change, I don't remember the percentage of the text, but they have to make some percentage to keep it. Yes. The copyright issue. Your King James Bible is not copyrighted in America, in the United States. It is copyrighted in England with the Crown's copyright, okay? That's why you will see different Bibles. Holman, is a Bible that's made by the Southern Baptist Convention. They wanted a Bible, they use a King James Bible, but they produced a publishing company so they could sell it to their people. Members of their convention. So it's like, okay, so that Bible will have a copyright on it, so no one can mess with it. Your Scofield Reference Bible, this Bible I have, has a copyright on it, on the notes itself, not on the text. It clearly says it. Okay? Because in America, they didn't have, they made it public domain because the colonists wanted it out there in the public. Okay, I hope I didn't bore you, but it's just verses. You know, you can, and if you ever have a question, all you got to do is Google it. Nowadays, it's right there. You can pop it and go, or you can ask me. I do have the Roman Catholic Bible. I did bring that out, but I didn't use it. So there are around. I know Walmart carries a lot of them rather cheaply, but you just have to understand that we are a people of the book, and we're a people that we know by faith where it is. And so when anybody ever jumps on you about translating, I didn't show you the one in Acts, but Paul speaks in Hebrew, then talks in Greek to the Roman and all this stuff. It's all translating. And actually, Paul speaks in Hebrew. Luke records it in Greek, and then it's translated over into English. It can be done, okay? Somebody that uses the translation as an attack mode knows nothing about the doctrine of inspiration or preservation. They know nothing. And you just take them over there to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 and say, let's talk here and let's go here. And if they say, well, we have a Bible thing, just show them Matthew 1, get you a little few verses and show them what's what. Colossians 1:14, where they pull the blood out, you know, show it to them. Just get a few hard-hitting ones. Use the New Testament. They won't know anything about the Old. I could have took you back in the Old Testament where they take Jehovah Nissi and Jehovah Jireh, and they completely pull it out and they put the Lord in. And they destroy the doctrine and the text of what was being taught to Israel. Now, you can't say that to somebody you're dealing with on the train or over a barbecue, because they're going to go, what are you talking about? But they can, if they're believers, to know that you're messing with the blood. Because if they're a believer, what did they trust? The blood. Well, now the blood's gone. Wait a minute. Now what? Okay? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning, Lord. We thank you for the study. We thank you for the folks here and online that have joined us, and for their perseverance and for their patience as we look at this information. And ultimately, we thank you that we have your word in our language, accurate, without error, complete, lacking nothing, for us to understand, believe, and trust, and give you the glory for everything. In your name we pray. Amen.